Good morning. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Nick, for this great opportunity to speak to you today about technology. But frankly, we can't speak about technology until we better understand that consumer as well. It's the convergence of the two that bring real innovation. And one of the things I hope to leave with you today is don't ask what technology can do for you. Imagine what it is you need to do and then go out looking for that toolbox that is technology. So these, in the words of the great philosopher Jimmy Buffett, are the people your parents warned you about. Yes, the boomers turning 71 every 7 to 8 seconds. They have more education, they have more money, but they have more something else that none of us talk about, but we think about. Are these people as nice as your parents? Do they stand back and wait? Are they as quiet? Are they waiting for the grandchildren to come visit? No, the new generation gap is not their money, it is not their numbers, frankly, it's not even their noise, it's the expectations. This is generation expectation that has seen smaller, cheaper, faster, and believes that there's a product, a pill, a policy that is going to enable them to live longer, better. And part of that lifestyle has been enabled by technology. And technology is not just the widgets and the gadgets, but what we do, but how we choose to live. Now, we're looking over the next 10 years. I want you to look at how fast life is going. If any vendor comes up to you and says, I've got a solution for you, be careful, because that solution is gone within nanoseconds. Think about how many of you are using tablets this very second, or an iPhone this very moment. These things have only been around for 10, 15 years. They're here today, they're gone tomorrow. And by the way, the velocity of technology is only going to go faster and faster. This means, like the previous speakers, you need to come up with values you want to deliver, a vision that is not only something people will buy, but is deservedly so, and then look for the technologies. Remember the GPS that we all live by now? It's only been around for about 15 years. The tablet or the iPhone, wow. That means that kids in 2007 graduating school had to learn it at the same pace as somebody in their 50s and 60s. And by the way, 3D printing, it's not just for architects and manufacturing anymore. You will be 3D printing your meal in the future. So let me introduce you to three different types of technologies or applications that I believe are going to profoundly change or give you the opportunity to change your business model. But remember, technology has two faces. It can be a disruptor, which is a very popular word to use, or it can be an enabler. I want to show you two sides of each. Welcome to the Internet of Everything. Not the Internet of Things where things talk to each other, but very quickly you will become part of the Internet of Everything, where you are connected via wearables and implantables and the like. And yes, your refrigerator and some other creepy applications will be telling you what to do. In fact, technology around you in your home will be managing, monitoring, and motivating nearly everything you do every day. And the head of Google did say that by 2020, all of us will be online in one way or the other. In fact, Cisco Systems and others have suggested that you probably will have 5 IP addresses, Internet Protocol addresses, on your body over the next 10 years. Think about what you already have now. You may have a Fitbit. You may have an iPhone. You may have a tablet. You may have a computer. You're almost there. The house of the future, the kitchen of the future. Your refrigerator will be talking to your toaster. Your toaster will maybe even talking to the grocery store. Your dishwasher will say you left it on. And by the way, the meals that you're eating will be dictated, but not by yourself, but maybe a nutritionist that is going to have connectivity, if you will, with your kitchen to ensure that you're eating what you're supposed to, taking your pills on time. And by the way, you're not looking very hydrated today, so we need to take care of that as well. There's the cool and the creepy part. I want you to imagine, for instance, a toilet. Now, I know I'm going to keep it clean. We just had breakfast. So I'll keep this in computer science vernacular. I want you to imagine a toilet that is already on the market today that, shall we say, will download from the user your glucose level, your body weight, did you take your meds today, and then upload that information to a call center and the like. These toilets are already on the market in several countries. This connectivity is already happening around us. The boomers are already seeing this, and the kids who are going to help them make the decision where they live tomorrow are using this as their benchmark of competition. And frankly, all the other things in our lives that are going to be connecting, spoons that will monitor what you're eating and how fast you're eating it. By the way, forget the wearables. The implantables are coming fast. We're already doing it to animals and everywhere else. Soon you'll have a sensor here to watch your glucose, and here we'll have your blood pressure, and God knows it may be talking to your toilet and your toaster, and God knows who it'll be talking to from there. But imagine the following. Here's the second face. You know, all those technologies have the possibility of creating a virtual assisted living, if you will, in your own home. And we know the numbers. Majority of people are saying, I want to stay in my home. I want to age in place. These technologies are making it possible for us to stay a little longer. Let's play a little bit of math for a moment. Imagine if these technologies could keep you in your home for just 6 months longer. Well, there's an average of about 975,000 assisted living units in the United States. On average, they cost about $3,500 per month. If I can keep you in your home for just 6 months, that's roughly a $34 billion ding to the industry, or for a facility of about 50 units, we're looking at about a $1 million shortfall. So yes, the Janus face of technology is the following. Yes, I'm one of the people out there to tell you that technology can be a great disruptor. On the other hand, technology could also be a new way for you to develop a pipeline into the community, to change your business model where you are no longer within the fence, within the wall, but to build a pipeline into the community to help me decide what technologies to buy, what services to get, so I develop a level of trust with you either for my parents or myself. Imagine this. There is a mirror now on the market to give you a checkup a day. How are you looking? Capillary action, temperature, everything else. Who's that connected to? The doctors out there aren't there connected to it yet. Is there some sort of trusted provider that's going to give me that checkup a day and give me advice on how I'm feeling and what I should be doing? How about the 3D printing I was talking about? Where's the nutritionist that's going to help me age well with vitality? I don't want to just live longer. I want to live better. In your companies today, you have the expertise. Look at technology as the conduit to get over that fence to develop a relationship before I need you to excite and delight me. Real innovators excite and delight. You don't simply respond to a computer, to the consumer's needs. The second area, that's a technology application. We're all hearing about it. It's the sharing economy. You know, the idea that, frankly, the whole notion of wealth and ownership is changing. The millennials are giving us a vision now where basically we can have it all and own none of it. Well, imagine this. There's companies already out there, not just the classic Uber or Lyft like we're on transportation, but there are companies like Honor out there that are having healthcare on demand. So if you need a nurse, if you need a CNA, you click on the app and suddenly that person appears into your home. It may not be the lifelong solution. It may not even be for years, but it may be for months. It may be for a year. And that's just a little bit of that margin we're talking about. Uber is no longer about transportation. Companies like it now are doing wheelchair delivery. They're doing drug delivery. They're doing food delivery. Is this one more thing that we should be thinking about? Think about this. The baby boomers, 70% of them live in suburban and rural areas. Without transportation, their ability to drive, their entire life cuts back and shuts down. One of the major reasons why often they move into communities. What happens now if they have something to fill that gap? Well, my answer to you is yes, that could be a disruption. But again, the other side of this could be an opportunity to form partnership. Start looking at the companies that are in your area and asking yourself, gee, how are those meals being delivered? How is transportation being provided? How is home maintenance allowing people to age in place? Is it possible for me to partner with these companies? Is it possible for me to white label with these companies? Again, to develop that relationship over the wall, over the fence, so I am a provider of community services, not just a provider of housing. Finally, robotics. This little stealth device, this little simple thing that is out there today, Echoes by Amazon. Most of us look at it as playing music, making shopping lists. This is the Trojan horse that the profoundly internet-based company in the world has the need and feels it need to have a physical presence in your home. This is listening to your grocery needs. It can destroy the help by phone can't get up industry because it's got an incredible line of sight. But basically, your house, one step at a time, is becoming incredibly automated and robotic. Start thinking about the fact that there are now robots on the market, and over the next 10 years, as we're thinking, robots will not be out there just to remind you to take your meds or to help you if you've fallen. They will be companions. They will remind you to do certain things. They will enable Alzheimer's patients maybe to stay in the home just a little bit longer. They're already on the market today in South Korea, Japan, United States, and parts of Northern Europe. And think about the autonomous vehicle, the driverless car. We're all excited about it. Probably the group that will benefit the most from this will be older adults who maybe no longer can drive or, frankly, feel like they want to drive. Think about how that will enable independence over a long time and living at a far distance. Robots are everywhere. The Japanese, because the Japanese population is not only the most aging population in the world, it is also the least population having children. Their fertility rates are right through the floor. And by the way, does anyone want to tell me what the immigration policy of Japan is? Sum it up in one word, please. Zero? No is the answer. The answer is just plain no. So as a result of no, we are replacing people with robots. This is a talk show that is all robotic. Somewhere, again, between cool and creepy. Let me show you something that's been on the market 1 year ago. A hotel in Japan is now 90% robotic. Does she look a little strange to you? I wouldn't criticize if I were you, because can you check people in at the front desk in 27 different languages? Can you send a robot to have bags brought to the room? Can you have your room cleaned up by a robot? Can you have all these things done robotically? And it's getting better, faster, and cheaper in multiple languages. So one of the things to think about is, yeah, the robots might replace some of the human touch. High tech will never replace high touch, but in the lieu of any touch at all, it will. So start looking at the other side of what this technology can do. It can help you improve productivity. It can reduce the amount of injury that your staff has when they're moving people from one place to another. It can maybe replace certain people that are doing things in one area to help mobility with others. And frankly, even if it's not the exoskeletal systems that will enable your staff to be stronger, we are seeing already on the market today in Japan and other places, systems that will help move people, wash people, and care for people overall. Let me end with not just a robot that can deliver you dinner, but with a vision of how you should think about technology. Most of us in this room, I see your ages in front of me, we are talking about the boomers, remember the Selectric typewriter. We also remember when the computer first came out. Ladies and gentlemen, when you look at technology, when vendors come in front of you and say, I've got a deal for you, ask yourself the following. If you use technology to simply improve what you do, like a Selectric typewriter, and used a computer to type faster and be able to print out, are you getting your investments worth? Are you truly innovating? Ladies and gentlemen, when you think about technology, do not think about what it does to help you do your job better. You're missing the point. Technology profoundly changes what you do, who you are, and what you deliver. And that, my friends, that vision has to come from you, and then you reach in the toolbox and find it. Thank you very much.